here. You've had people tell you they loved you when they didn't you? You understand? You know that. So when somebody says, I love you, it doesn't mean they do or they don't. It should caught you. What you should do is look and see, is this really love? See, it's pointing to something. If you're not, you're just like the guy pointing to the moon, and you're looking at the pointer. Oh, he loves me. Isn't that wonderful? He bought me roses today. Isn't that good? He beat me up 3 days ago. He loves me. That's a crock, see? But you understand, words are there. It's a problem. Words are a problem. If you don't believe they're a problem, sit down and ask the lawyer one time. You know? How many times have you had a lawyer do you up a foolproof document? It was foolproof till you needed it. And then you get 100 lawyers together, and all 100 of them could give you a way to rip it apart. I mean, it wasn't nothing. And you're sitting there going, good God, what did we do this for? The only thing he's got on it right is my name. And they're questioning the spelling of that. You know, so words are a problem. Now, I think it's really important that we understand that, because we use them so often. We listen to people. We read words. They're a real problem in communicating. You communicate much better with a stance. Y'all know that? With a look. With a, you know what I mean. How many of you can recognize this? I can remember when my wife could do the same with me. I could walk in my house, and I mean I wouldn't be there a minute, and I'd know just how my wife's day had gone, and she don't have to say a word. Y'all hear me? You know what I'm talking about. That really communicates, and it communicates accurately. Because I could say to the same woman, you know, honey, how was your day? Fine. Oh, God. See, the word said fine. But I'm telling you, what I'm watching wasn't fine. So you understand what I'm talking about, okay? I think this is really important to us, because when you get interested in evangelization at all, that's the first thing you think of is words. I'm going to go out and do a bunch of talking. Well, I wish I could erase that. I wish I could zip everybody in here, zip their mouth up, go out and do a lot of living. And then sometimes you'll find it's necessary to talk the way you live it. And you don't have to sit down and write it down then and think about it all the time. This is just the way you live it, you know. You understand? Did I give you all St. Francis' quote? St. Francis said this. He said, always preach the gospel. Sometimes you'll even find it's necessary to use words. That's what I'm talking about. It's your life that most accurately preaches the gospel. Not your words. Words, they come from your conscious mind, and there's much more to us than our conscious mind. And there's other problems with the words. The person that's listening to you has different meanings for them than you do. So anyway, let me move on. It's a tough way to communicate words. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Quit turning Him back into words. In fleshing. That's what the Eucharist is about. Stop turning Him back into words. In flesh Him. And we'll say, any Christians in the house? And everybody raises their hand. I don't even do that anymore. They ask if there's any Christians around, I won't explain. You know. I'm going to talk to you about some ancient words the last 10 or 12 minutes. Words that 2,000 years ago were common, everyday words, and today they're ecclesiastical words. They're church words. if you walked into the local supermarket in your town and there was somebody standing by the vegetable bin and they said the word faith, you'd know they were talking about church, wouldn't you? 2,000 years ago, that was a common, everyday marketplace word. It was not a church word. The scriptures were not written out of some kind of ecclesiastical dictionary. It was written in common language. That's one of the things that all the scripture scholars tell us. It was written in common Greek. It was written in a language that was used every day. Okay? So the word faith was an everyday word. What I want to do with you to get you into the word, let's move it from the ecclesiastical word to an English word that means the same. Give me a synonym for the word faith. Belief. I don't know any better. Belief. Believe. If you want to know what your faith is, it's simply what you believe. There's a problem right there, though, isn't there? Is what you believe what you say you believe? Not necessarily. The catechism, the new catechism, that's exactly the way it starts out. They're trying to tell us what it is to believe, and they tell us that belief is not a mental assent to something. Belief is something deeper than that. If you want to know what you believe, watch what you do. Don't listen to your mind or your mouth, because it'll lie to you. That's what hypocrisy is. When you say you believe something that your life will prove, you do not believe. So if you want to really know what you believe, watch what you do. And then you'll find out why the apostles would say things like this to Jesus: Lord, we believe, but help thou mine unbelief. I believe we'll probably die saying that, because we'll discover, as you're sitting there and listen to Charlie, some of you will get caught in some of those cracks and you won't make it. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You understand? I can't do that with this sucker. Okay. And why can't you do it? Because you don't believe it. That's why I say doubt is the essence of faith. It's not the opposite. You show me somebody that tells you they have no doubt, and I'll show you a liar. Listen to James, and I simplify this, but this is what he says. You tell me what your faith is. I'll show you mine by my works. Now, churches through history have gotten arguments over faith and works on that. That's not what that's about. That's about your faith is what you do. A person that just tells you their faith, that don't mean anything. What's it mean when I say I love you? You got vocal cords. What does it mean when somebody says they believe in one God? They got vocal cords. Watch them and see. You may find they got a God that acts different than Jesus. You may find they got a God that's after riches. You may find they got a God that did not deny the temptations. Jump down off this cliff and the angels will take you up. Or, I'll give you the whole world. Well, they're going for it. Yeah, glory to God, I'll take it. You understand? Faith that is not proven by its works is, it's bad faith. Just not any good. The faith, you tell me what your faith is, I'll show you mine by things I do. That's not a faith and a works discussion. That is saying that works is what prove what you believe. That's just like the wife that's standing at the counter washing the dishes when her husband walks in and he says, what's the matter, honey? Nothing. Well, bull stuff. Something's the matter. Now, what she says she is and what she is two different things, aren't they? That's hypocrisy. I'm all right. I'm all right. Folks, I think this is easy to understand, and it can really have a wonderful effect on your life if you're a little humble. Now, if you're not, it can make you mad. But if you want to know what you believe, watch how you live. And when you discover that you're living something that you're thinking, you know, I probably shouldn't believe that if I'm a Christian. See, this is how doubt and faith work together. I probably should be something different. Oh God, would you forgive me for this? And would you help me to learn how to act like I believe this? Would you help me to do this? You know, that's what conversion is. That's what being transformed from glory to glory into the image of God is. Most of us think that we've been transformed. Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't made it. Let me talk a little bit about the word sin, because I think there's just a tremendous misunderstanding about this word. This was not an ecclesiastical word 2,000 years ago. It was a common, everyday word. I'm going to use it for you the way it would have been used 2,000 years ago. Two guys are walking down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and a rabbit runs out in front of them, and they draw back their spears and they toss it at the rabbit. And one guy turns to the other and says, "Oh, shucks, Charlie, we missed the rabbit. We sinned." Y'all know that it was sin to miss the rabbit? That's exactly the way the word would have been used. Oh, shucks, we sinned. They missed the rabbit. They were aiming at the rabbit and they missed him. So I'm going to go back to our second day and we're going to see what it is to miss the mark. Let's answer the question that I started that class with. All religion comes from a question: what kind of God is God if he exists, and what does he require of me, if anything? But I'm going to change it a little. I'm going to change it to this, because we say something very specific about God. No other religion on this earth says this. We say that God became a person, a human being. So I'm going to change the question from what kind of God is God to who is God. Somebody tell me, who is God? Jesus. Say that. Who is God?
Jesus.
Jesus is God. That's what you and I, as Christians, we are the only religion on this earth that makes a statement like that. Jesus is God. The exact representation of the Father in human form resided in him. Not an awesome statement? Jesus is God. That's my and your answer to the question. What does he require of us, if anything? And he has one command that's unique. Love. Well, now, come on now. Love how? You get to define what love is?
No.
Love as I. What's sin to a Christian? Not to love. There you go. Oh, David, I thought it was adultery. Oh, no. That's the fruit of sin. You give a glass of water to somebody and expect something in return, and it's sin. You miss the mark. Now, see, we've boiled it down, though, to a list of things that we... Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. To not sin is to live agapeistically. And when you don't, it's sin. When you miss the mark, it's sin. All of these other things are the fruit of sin. Now, some of you will say, well, David, you're telling us all sin is exactly alike. No, I'm not. God, if it's not obvious to you that to give this lady a glass of water and expect something in return is not as bad as killing her, you're, God, you know, I'm not saying it's all the same, but I'm telling you that sin, man's problem, see, man's problem is sin. And if you're a Christian, sin is to miss the mark of not loving as Jesus. Okay? Do you know the Apostle Paul never uses the word plural? It's never sins. Isn't that awesome? It's sin. It's not sins. It's sin. Now, I'll be the first to grant you that adultery is not love. Stealing is not love. You're not loving as Jesus when you do these. But these are the fruits. This is, you can see, that you're not loving. They're a big flag like a word that flops up and goes, hey, whoa, you got a problem. Stealing. Lying. Why do I lie? Hey, you got a problem. But that's not the sin. And it's perfectly all right to use it the way we do. Those are sins. But the problem is sin. This is sin, singular. When you miss this, and you know why we don't do these things, don't you? Fear. Amen. You're afraid to. You got it. That's what my message was about yesterday, talking about fear and hatred. But this, when you're not loving, our entire life should be aimed at loving as God loves. That is the ideal of a Christian, that my life should be transformed from glory to glory into loving exactly as Jesus. For instance, that's the ideal that I aim at. Every step that I take is aimed at that. It's not aimed at something else. It isn't even aimed at getting John to love. My life is aimed at loving as God loves. You do not need to be loved. You need to love. When I started off saying, if you aren't happy, it's not because somebody else is not loving you. It's because you're not loving. You can have the happiness of God in your heart when everybody around you hates you. We need to love. Now, folks, it's wonderful to be loved. Please don't say that. Think that I'm saying we shouldn't be loved. But let me tell you right now, God does not need my love. That's an awesome statement. Isn't that something that I would think that God needs me to love Him? God created me because He loves. That's exactly right. He's the lover. And if I am made in His likeness and image, if my nature, if I really came from Him, what would make me whole?
Love.
To love. There you go. So that's what we're talking about. Now, I don't want anybody here to think that I'm distracting from all these things that, you know, we call sins. But sin is not to love. And sure, there are certainly different degrees of it. Expecting something in return all the time is sin. Killing somebody is sin. Committing adultery is sin. There's degrees in this. When you end a person's life, their chance for conversion is ended. When I give somebody a glass of water without and expecting a return, their conversion can continue. Okay? sure do love you. I have a lot of words here I could do, but you get the idea, the concept that I'm talking about, and that's really what I want to get you. The principle here is it's one thing just to listen to a person. It's another to know what's being said. It's one thing to listen to yourself, and this is what's most important. I believe, you know, say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all things unseen. Do you live a life? Which came first, the creed or people living the creed? Ah, people living it. But we'll raise our kids saying it. And they think they believe it because they say it. Bye.